Hello, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This is a monthly show that airs on the third Friday of each month, and it focuses on classical homeopathic treatment and how it can benefit your entire family, and especially how it can be a curative therapy in the treatment of autism. My name's Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting live this month from Portola Valley, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. We've had a really cold month here so far. I think it's much warmer on the East Coast than here in California. It's not even in the 70s, it's in the 60s here. And I thought I'd also touch a little bit on current events. First of all, welcome to the fall. It's back to school. After a summer away for me, I was gone. I know I had a re-recording of a previous show in August. I was traveling with my family in Canada and England. So what's going on here? Well, in the world of homeopathy, a few weeks ago, there was an exciting piece of news, bad news actually. On August 27th, there was a hit piece on homeopathy published in The Lancet, which is a medical journal in the UK. And thankfully, the homeopathic community was quick to respond. You can see a press release that was released by the National Center for Homeopathy. It's up on their website, homeopathic.org, H-O-M-E-O-P-A-T-H-I-C.org, that thoroughly debunks this report. In fact, another piece has come out now from a medical statistician at the University of Arizona that even debunks and discredits the scientific content of that paper. I'm not sure, but the NCH may be putting that up on their site as well. A lot of people believe that the Lancet printed this paper, and that the paper was designed because the World Health Organization is going to be releasing a report that's very supportive of homeopathy. So people aren't happy about that, and they're trying to find any way they can to discredit it. Nevertheless, the results of homeopathy speak for itself, and we will continue. Another thing in current events, obviously, we're all still recovering from the after effects of Hurricane Katrina, and certainly my heart goes out to them. The homeopathic community has been trying to find a way to, add to its response to this event. Unfortunately, the government officials and the people who are allowed to do medical treatment there usually don't allow homeopathic treatment, although there are some MDs who are homeopaths working in the area with the survivors, who I believe are trying to use some homeopathy. In truth, homeopathy has lots to offer in a medical emergency if the establishment would allow it. Just at the most simple level, there's remedies that are excellent, and quick. Treatments for shock, for example, the remedy aconite. And, of course, homeopathic remedies can help to combat infection and the spread of diseases. There's a long history in homeopathy of treating those kinds of things. So you can learn more about the homeopathic approaches to crisis medicine also by going to the National Center for Homeopathy website, which, again, is homeopathic.org, H-O-M-E-O-P-A-T-H-I-C. Anyway, for first-time listeners, I also want to encourage you to try and listen to past archives of this show. Although each show is more or less self-contained, I'm really structuring the show as a kind of introductory course on homeopathy based on my book, Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy. This book is now pretty much the premier patient education book in the country. And it's even available now in German translation. It will really, if you buy it and read it, it will really give you a great idea of what homeopathy is all about and what it can do. In addition, to providing a comprehensive introduction to homeopathy, what's making it really popular is that it includes dozens of cure stories of homeopathic cures for a wide variety of ailments, and it includes a full chapter on how my son Max was cured of autism thanks to homeopathic treatment, and that's how I myself came to homeopathy. You can find out more about ordering Impossible Cure at my book website, which is impossiblecure.com. So to listen to past archives of the show, I think the Autism One radio archives include everything from May up until now. If you want archives of previous shows, you can go and see them at the ImpossibleCure.com website. And I want to particularly encourage listeners to check out the February and March shows from this year. The February show describes my son's curative experience with homeopathy, his cure from autism. So I know that'll be of particular interest to parents. And the March show is very important because it provides an introduction to the homeopathic view of how disease happens and how cure can be achieved, and also about the dangers of suppressive medicine. So it really is homeopathic philosophy 101, and it will help you understand what homeopathy is all about. While you're at the ImpossibleCure.com website, you'll also find a page on autism treatment and referral lists for recommended homeopaths. And you'll also find a database of cure stories contributed by others and other useful homeopathic links. Anyway, let's move on to today's show. The focus today is really a continuation where the June and July shows left off. In June, I covered how to find a homeopath, how to prepare for an appointment, how to do those things, which are very important. And then in the July show, I focus on really the appointment itself, what your first appointment is usually like, what the homeopath is looking for, what they're doing when they analyze your case, and also some initial issues about taking your remedy, the issue of antidoting, possibilities of certain substances negating the effects of the remedy, and also interactions with conventional treatment. So this is the third part of this series of lectures on really what, you know, the experience of homeopathy is like, going and getting treatment. And in my book, this is the focus of Chapter 8. So today what we're going to be talking about are the various possible remedy reactions that might happen and what they mean, and also how to prepare for follow-up appointments with your homeopath. Just to give you a little preview, in October and November, one of those 2 months, I'm hoping October, I'm going to have an interview with Nancy Frederick, who is a homeopath with a large autism practice. She used to have two practices in Connecticut and Maine, but she's recently consolidated and only has her practice in Maine. But she does successfully treat many autistic kids. The November show will probably begin talking about the history of homeopathy in the United States, some anecdotes about how homeopathy got its start in this country in the 1800s. So let's move on. Now we're at the point you've gone to the homeopath. He or she has prescribed a remedy for you. So what can you expect? What's going to happen next? Well, let's begin with what an ideal response is like. That means a response that you've been given exactly the correct remedy. Homeopaths call this the similimum because it's the most similar, or it matches your overall state, both your mental, emotional, physical state. If a remedy is the similimum, and ideally in both what the remedy is and also in the right potency, it will provide just the correct energetic stimulus to your body, to the energy body, really, that will resonate with you overall. It will affect you not in a biochemical way, but in an energetic way. And it will resonate at least this is our understanding, with your energy body, which homeopaths believe is the fundamental strata, or it's the fundamental substance, so to speak, of what really governs your physical body. And it will then enable you, your energy body, and your physical body to start functioning more properly. And what that means is, in the case of autism, is that, for example, your body will start to naturally chelate metals, let's say, or regulate the functioning of the brain, etc., or your intestine, etc. In other words, it will enable your body to function as it should and regain health. So the first symptoms of that is that somehow you'll get symptoms of your general health improving. So for most of us, that would result, the first signs of the correct remedy would be that you just have a sense of greater well-being. You just feel better. So a lot of things will improve in general, like your sleep will improve, your appetite and digestion will improve, your mental and emotional feelings of well-being will improve. For women, their menstrual cycle will become more regular. Your bowel movements will be more regular, etc. So even if it's only slight, this is a sign that the remedy has resonated with you and your body is starting to function properly and recover. For autistic kids, often one of the first signs we see is that they are starting to try to reach out more to others. Even if it's just subtle, you know, they might be making more eye contact, they might be coming up to you, they might be trying to communicate better, and often we'll see improvements in bowel function and sleep. So that's In autistic kids, it might be very subtle at first, but when you see that those kinds of signs, it's a sign of a good response. Other things that can happen when you could take the right remedy is that just your life starts working better too. Your whole energy field will be better, and people respond to you better. So your relationships with people will improve in your work life. If a patient comes in to me and says, well, I finally decided that I'm going to quit that job that I hate, I'm going to find a new job, that's a good sign, too, that they're making changes in their life, because just everything seems different. Another thing that can happen, especially right after you take the remedy, and this can be the correct remedy, is what we call an aggravation, a short period where your symptoms, the symptoms that you had been experiencing, get a little bit worse. This might just last, usually just last a day or two. Occasionally it might last a week or so, but rarely, it's very unusual for that to happen more than that, and it can be toned down if it does. Why does this happen? Well, it means that the remedy is very similar to your state and has resonated with your symptoms, and for that reason can accentuate them a bit briefly. Sometimes it means that the potency that was given to you was a little too high, but it's really impossible for the homeopath to know how you're going to react to various potencies. So they go with their best judgment of what is the best potency to give you. And if it's a little high, maybe you'll have a bigger aggravation, but it can be toned down. But nevertheless, if your aggravation is merely an accentuation of the symptoms you've already had, that's a positive sign, because when it's like being a pendulum being pushed in one direction, eventually it will rebound and go in the other direction. So your body will respond in that way, sort of an action-reaction way, and respond by then reacting to and removing those symptoms. I remember in my son's case, when he took his remedy, some of the things that would get aggravated would be sort of more hyperactive tension things. With autistic kids, often you'll see possibly an increase in stimming behavior. This is sort of an increase in tension as well, and it actually might be a response to the fact that they are also trying to make more contact with you, which is a bit scary and anxiety-provoking for them. So they may be making more contact, making more attempts, but also needing to release the tension that goes along with that. So try to be patient with that. Other things that can happen after you take a remedy are what we might call cleansing reactions, where the body is trying to expel the disease state to the surface or to the outside. So this might take the form of rashes, diarrhea, nasal discharge, or vomiting. Vomiting in particular is very common when you give the correct remedy in acute ailments, let's say for a fever, etc., an infection. You'll know that you're really on the right track if you give the kid the remedy and they immediately throw up and fall asleep. And that's a great response, and usually when the child wakes up, they'll feel much better. It means that the disease is being expelled from more serious internal symptoms to the surface. Another example of a rash, I remember at one point in my son's recovery, I started seeing a rash on his chest that was somehow was similar to measles. And he didn't have the measles, but I saw this rash coming out. And I thought, maybe the measles virus that had been in him due to vaccine damage is coming out. So I was actually happy to see that. And he actually really improved after that. After this period of possible aggravation and cleansing reactions, and these don't always happen, if you just hit the exact right potency exactly, you might not have an aggravation. Then you should see, this is in the case of you got exactly the right remedy, an improvement of your complaint that you came in for. And it might be slow, it might be gradual, but slow and sure. Now, occasionally it will be extremely dramatic and quick as well. Often this happens, actually, if you have a big aggravation. You might see a dramatic improvement after that. In acute ailments, you might see dramatic and quick improvements. But for something like autism, you can be sure almost always that the process will be slow and gradual. And you want it to keep continuing. Of course, there may be days or two where you kind of see a downturn. We all have those bad days. Try not to worry if you have a day or two of bad days. Wait and see if they pass and see if your body kind of regains balance. But if you feel that you've relapsed, that you were much better, now you've relapsed, you might need another dose. So that's of the remedy. Essentially, the remedy gives you an energetic push. It sort of sets you off in a direction. Think of it as like pushing a ball. And it has its momentum and it keeps going. But as time goes by, it loses momentum. If other things happen in your life, if you're exposed to things that can antidote the remedy, it's sort of slowly whittling away at the effects of the remedy. And then at some point you may need to redose and push the ball ahead again. So those are the times. When you feel that you have relapsed, it's time to call your homeopath and talk to them and find out if they feel you need another dose of the remedy. People have asked me, do you have to keep taking it forever? No. After time, you improve. You might having to keep taking the remedy for a while, but over time, you need it less and less. That's a sign of it's the correct remedy if over time it's required less and less. Another sign of the correct remedy that you've taken the correct remedy is what we call the return of old symptoms that had been suppressed before. So the classic example, and I talk about this in my book, is let's say in a case of eczema that has progressed into asthma. So let's say the child has eczema and you've used suppressive medications, let's say cortisone creams. And then now the child develops allergies, which you then suppress with, allergy medicines, over-the-counter antihistamines, etc. That suppression, and I discussed this in the March lecture, can lead to pushing the disease state further into the economy of the body, into a more serious internal disease, often asthma. So now let's say a homeopath is treating an asthma patient and they're improving, they're needing their asthma medications less and less, they're doing better. And then suddenly the patient develops eczema. Often this will happen, like the eczema they had as a child went away, but now they have asthma. Well, as their asthma is getting better, the eczema may return. That's because now the internal disease state, which is, the respiratory problems, are getting better, and the disease state is moving outward towards the skin, which is a much less serious disease, to the eczema. This is actually a really positive sign. It means that you're fundamentally less sick. And with continued treatment, sometimes the old symptoms that come back will just pass out, you know, they'll just heal by themselves. Occasionally you might need to take another dose of the remedy or a different remedy and treat that, and that will pass too, without being suppressed and progressing into more serious disease. So it's really important that, let's say you're being treated by your homeopath and you get a skin rash or something, it's important not to suppress that, because you want to let it continue on its own. And at worst, at the worst, just call your homeopath and ask them what to do. Another example of something like that, when I was being treated, I always go to my homeopath, but one thing that happened to me was that I once had some precancerous cells on my nose burned off by the allopath, and at one point after I took a remedy, that came back, and then it scabbed up and it disappeared. Before it hadn't been healing, now it healed and it was fine. So that was like an example of old symptom coming back and then just passing through and healing on its own. Okay, another thing that can happen is odd symptoms that you've never had before occur. But they occur just for a couple days and then they go away. And you think, what was that? Now that is a sign that you may be developing symptoms that can be caused by this remedy. You know, every remedy is associated with symptoms. If it's the correct remedy, you will likely have many of those symptoms, but not all of them. And sometimes you can get very briefly symptoms of that remedy that are caused by that remedy. And that's what we might call approving. That's how homeopaths discover what remedies do. They take them and find out what symptoms they cause. But you're not getting the actual disease. You're just getting symptoms that come up. Let's say a headache most of us have headaches. But let's say suddenly you get a hemorrhoid and you've never had a hemorrhoid, but it just lasts for a day and you think, that was strange. Well, it could be sort of the effect of the remedy and it will just pass. It's a sign that it's probably the correct remedy, but maybe you took too high of a dose, so you should probably tell the homeopath about that too for when they redose. Likely that will never happen again. Okay. Another thing that can happen is that you might regain memories of instances that actually were the root cause of the ailment. There's a story like this in my book. I'll read you a little portion of that story. It's about a woman who was being treated for sort of anxiety disorder. This woman couldn't go into public places like the shopping mall. She would get panicky, etc. And she also had a very acute sense of smell, was waking up in the night all the time, etc. When she was given the remedy, the panic went way down, and she was able to go to public places, to parties and to picnics. Night waking got better. Her sense of smell became less acute. But one of the interesting things I want to tell you about is that after a couple months, she remembered that she had been involved in an accident when she was just 1.5 years old and had been run over by a car in a parking garage. And she wasn't seriously hurt, but she was shaken up. And it's you know, it may be speculation, but it's very possible that this childhood incident was the root cause of her panic disorder, her anxiety disorder. So she recalled this event, and all her symptoms continued to improve 1 year later. So this is described in my book, this story. Okay, so what happens if you have less than an ideal reaction? That can happen too. Well, the first thing that might happen, one of the possibilities, is that you get a strong aggravation of your old symptoms, not new symptoms, nothing unusual new, but you get the symptoms that you came for are really much worse, and it's just too much. And this is, it's possible that you were giving much too high of a dose, very likely that that this will just take time. After a week or two, it will be better, so it will pass. So in that instance, in any case, you should call your homeopath, talk to them. They can usually tone it down by either trying to antidote the remedy or giving another dose of a different potency of the remedy. Now, what happens if suddenly you feel much worse and now you've also developed new and unusual symptoms that you never had before? It could be that the remedy's done nothing and you're just, actually, your disease is getting worse, or it could mean that you've been given the wrong remedy in too high of a dose. It will usually just pass, but often the symptoms that you develop may point to the correct remedy for you. Now, by the way, this is even if your original complaint is better, but then you also develop these new and severe symptoms. It still can mean it's the wrong remedy or that it points to the correct remedy. So in any case, you should contact the homeopath and discontinue that remedy if you're still taking it. And it should subside. But if you develop new and severe symptoms, even if your original complaint is better, you should discontinue the remedy and call your homeopath. And I want you to also remember that these reactions aren't just physical, they can be mental too, mental and physical. One other point, which is, when should you take a dose of the remedy? Let's say you've taken the remedy, you're feeling great, it's going great. Now, most of us who are used to allopathic medicines think, oh, I have to keep taking it, it's working, so I keep taking it. In homeopathy, that is not true. If you are improving, everything's doing good, you should not take another dose until you feel like you're relapsing or getting worse again. It's best, in almost all cases, to, if you're improving, you're doing better, you're gradually improving, to do nothing and let that keep going. Let the ball keep rolling on its own momentum without any additional pushes, because you don't want to push it off track. You want to let it keep going unless you really notice that you're declining. You should definitely talk to your homeopath about that, but that is in general the rule. Don't just start taking it because you're doing better. Keep taking it. Don't do that. Okay, let's see. So now let's move on to the follow-up appointment. So you've taken your remedy, and about a month to 1 to 2 months later, you have your follow-up appointment with the homeopath. Now, their goal of the homeopath is to assess what the response has been and determine what to do next. Was it the correct remedy? Do you need another dose or not? If you're really doing well and things are still progressing, they may decide not to give you any more. They need to figure out, was it the right dosing regimen that they gave you? Was it the right potency? Or do they need to change the remedy and the dosing? So that's what they're trying to figure out, what your response has been. And everything I've told you sort of gives you an indication of what they're looking for. So first of all, they want to find out about your general health response. So how is your mental state, your emotional state been? What changes have occurred in your life, your relationships, your work? How is your feeling of well-being and your vitality? How are your body functions, your sleep, your appetite, your dreams? What dreams have you been having? How's your menstrual cycle, your bowel function, your sexual desire, etc.? All the sort of general parameters of your health. They want to find out how are those all doing. Of course, they want to also know how your complaint is doing, your primary complaint. For an autistic kid, they want to find out how is the contact with others, the speech. Have you noticed any changes? And more than that, what has the pattern been over time? Did it get worse initially and then get better? Did it get better and then get worse, etc.? They want to know what the pattern of response over time was. And they want to know about the appearance and the severity and how long any new symptoms lasted. Were they completely new symptoms that you've never had before, or were they old symptoms that you had years ago, let's say, that have come back? See, those mean different things, like we've discussed. And they want to know if you've had any kind of discharges, like rashes, diarrhea, nasal discharge, vomiting, etc. All of this will help them assess what exactly the response to the remedy has been. Now, when you have the follow-up, actually differs depending on if you're going for treatment of a chronic condition like autism, or if it's an acute situation like the flu, etc. If you call the homeopath and get a remedy for the flu, they probably won't want to hear back from you the next day, or even a few hours later. Just they'll tell you when they want to talk to you, and we often do the follow-up on the phone. If it's for a chronic condition like autism or anything else, like I say, usually it's 1 to 2 months after taking a remedy. Often, especially the first remedy, they want to see you after a month. Now, to prepare for your follow-up, it's often good to take notes. You don't need to go overboard. You don't need to. It doesn't have to include every piece of minutia that's happened to you, but a page of notes, trends, observations, is very useful, because when you get into the office, you'll probably forget. And a lot of times, the homeopath will ask you, like, well, whatever happened to this or that, these various symptoms, and you'll find that it's not uncommon that a lot of them have disappeared and you've just forgotten that they even existed. So that's very helpful for you to realize that you may think nothing's changed, but then when you go talk to the homeopath, you'll find, oh yeah, I don't have that anymore. That's really helpful for you to realize too. The homeopath will often have a list. They have their notes from the first appointment, and they'll ask you how the progress of those various symptoms are. Now, it's always important that you know that you should call your homeopath if you have any questions, or if you're confused by the instructions they gave you about dosing, etc. And also call if you're in an acute situation like the flu or an ear infection. Don't just go and suppress these things with meds. Call your homeopath. They may tell you to take an over-the-counter drug, but more likely they'll give you advice about how to treat it more naturally, or even give you a remedy to treat an acute ailment. So it's very hard to get over the habits that we all have, and I was as guilty of this as the rest. It's, the minute we get a headache or a cough or the flu or allergy symptoms, we immediately run to the store and take painkillers and aspirin and Tylenol and sleep medicine and cough medicine and cold and flu medicine, antihistamines and cortisone creams, etc. It's like a habit we're all in, but as I've discussed, all of these suppressive medications, can drive the disease further in, and B, can be dealt with differently using homeopathy or other more natural means. And you'll find over time that if you stop doing this, you'll actually be healthier. So that's my recommendation, to try to avoid this as much as possible. Of course, there's times when you just have to do it, but try to avoid it when you can. People ask me also about what the diet, what kind of diet they should be on. Well, you should talk to your homeopath. Certainly for autistic kids, you should definitely use the gluten-free, casein-free diet or other kinds of diets like that if you have found them helpful. In general, the rule in the autism community is many kids are on all these different kinds of regimens, the homeopath will usually tell you, don't change anything after you take the remedy. Don't add or remove treatments or supplements, unless your homeopath has specifically told you to, because by leaving everything the same, then just taking the remedy, it'll be easier for the homeopath to assess what exactly the homeopathy has achieved. If you start adding in new treatments or removing them, it's hard to figure out what's that and what is the effect of the remedy. So for us in general, it's important. Homeopathy doesn't have a prescribed diet. It's rather just eat a balanced diet. So just, you know, common sense. Well, that's about it for the content of today. I just want to end up with some closing material here. First of all, if you have any questions, you should always feel free to email me at alansky@autismone.org. It's alansky at autismone.org. Or you can send me an email at Lansky, Lansky, at impossiblecure.com. I also want to close again by encouraging you all to visit the impossiblecure.com website. Check out my page on autism, the cure stories, and also buy my book, which will really help you understand homeopathy better. Another great resource is the Homeopathy for Special Needs Children website. This is something new this year. They also have a Yahoo group, and you can find out more about that at homeopathysnc.org. Now, hold on a second. I want to see if I got any emails while I was doing the show. Nope, nothing. So send me emails, though. I always respond relatively quickly to emails that people send me. I give a lot of referrals through email. Okay, last thing is, if you want more general information about homeopathy, you should really visit, and in any case, you should really visit the site of the National Center for Homeopathy, which once again is homeopathic.org. There's lots of resources and information provided there. And if you join the National Center, which is $55 a year, you will, first of all, receive a fantastic magazine called Homeopathy Today that's just chock full of information about what's going on in the homeopathic world, and tons of articles on self-treatment tips for your family for common ailments, and other articles. It's just a very good magazine. You'll also get the e-newsletter, and you'll get access to lots more online resources, chats, etc. And most importantly, though, you'll be supporting and helping to defend the right of Americans to access homeopathic medicine, and that's something we should never take for granted. So in any case, be well, and remember, there really is hope with homeopathy.